Evening. So great to see. You know, I must confess, I've been to some churches and there's some ugly congregation about, but tonight I think we've got the best of the crop. I like to pray before I start. Lord, we thank you for worshiping. You've given us talents and ability. Lord, we thank you for our worship band, Lord, our young people who you've given them these talents, this ability, Lord, to play these instruments. And as they play this instrument, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that in our heart, Lord, we're bringing out praise and worship to you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we come now, Lord, to your word, that, Lord, that you bring us closer to you, Lord, that you draw us closer, closer in such a way, Lord, that we'll never be the same, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible, can you please turn to John chapter 8? It's just one verse, which is going to be our text. John chapter 8. Reading from just verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Shall we read that again together? Shall we repeat it together? Let's stand for the word of God. Let's stand and let's read it together, because it's such a powerful word, isn't it? John chapter 8. You can repeat after me. John chapter 8. Verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, if some of you want to say praise the Lord, amen, please feel free. It's encouraged to preach up front to actually do something like that, yeah? And it's good to not only say that, but to be in sort of working together with God's word as God's word touches. It means something. I know we're quite reserved, but hey, you know, the Lord, when he saves us, he does really wonderful thing. You know, two nights a week, I work at a Christian care center in Birmingham. And the people that come there are people like people of the street. Some of them are very vile. Some of them very aggressive. And would you believe, most of them have various addiction, whether it be drugs, drink, alcohol, sex, you name it. They got it. We get roughly between 30 and 40 people come in there. And we give them soup and things to eat. And we talk to them. One of the most staggering things is that the majority of the guys who come there have a faith in God. And you could call them Christians. Because one stage in their life, they have made a commitment to Jesus. They put their faith and trust in him. But the circumstances that they are drawn into and the situation they found themselves in have drawn them into a different dimension. And when I first went there, it was so easy for me to say, you don't put your faith in God, do you? You don't really trust in the power of God. And it's so easy to point the finger, isn't it? When you see people who you think should be living a better life and you seem to judge them. And you know, one of the greatest things that happened in the last couple of years by working there, I fell in love with these guys. And funny enough, some of them fell in love with me. And we get on really great. And they share with me some of the circumstances, some of the problems that have struck their lives. And this evening, I don't want to talk about those problems of the guys. But I want to share with you that some of those guys who are not Christians, when I talk to them, they say this. They say, Dolph, it's so easy for you to become a Christian, to follow God. And I said, why is this? Why do you think it's easy for me? He said, well, You know, you got home, you got family, you got everything to live for. It's so good. You don't know what it's like to have trials, to have problems. And I had to turn to them and said, you don't know nothing about me. And I unwrapped some of the things I've been through. And I shared with them that my belief in God is not a gap filler. You know, they say that you believe in God just to fill little gaps in your life. My belief in God is based upon truth. And our belief in God believes on truth because truth is that acid test that tests whether we are infatuated or we have a religion or we believe firmly in Him. And you know, sharing my faith with them and sharing what God has done in my life and sharing the Word of God has really and truly caused me and caused them to rethink about certain things. And you know something? When you share the Word of God and you share it in such a personal way, things happen. And one of the great things that is happening at the care center now, we now have to run an alpha or Bible study course for these men and women because they're getting excited about God. They begin to realize that there's a God who loved them. We don't criticize their addiction and their problem. We bring to them Jesus. And when Jesus comes into your life, then the change begins. And that is what we do there. And you know, one of the most remarkable thing about letting Jesus in your life is the change that he brings. If you've got a Bible, can you look with me at Luke chapter 19? That text we read, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of people today are saying, I am free because I don't believe in God. The new atheist movement or the new atheist movement has said freedom comes when you forget the shackles of religion. But you know something? I have found that my freedom comes when I acknowledge Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, reread the first verse. It says this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, in this chapter, we're first of all, obviously, introduced to Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And he chose to come down to earth, embodied as a man. You know, this thing blows my mind every time I think about it. That the God of all creation, the God who spoke and world came to being, is the same God that came down as a babe in manger, made himself so vulnerable. Why? Because he wants to bring us the truth and the way of salvation. And God, as the Bible says in John 3:16, verse 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. What a message! For a world that has gone wrong, for a world that's upside down, inside out, who don't know what to believe and how to believe, we have a message of hope. And it's found in one and one person alone. And that person is Jesus. And here we read, he entered and passed through Jericho. You know something? A little bit of history here. Jericho was a sin city. You know, the Bible says, curses is anybody who re-hang the gates of Jericho after destroyed. And you know what people like? Anything that God says, they like to go in the opposite direction. But it didn't stop God. It didn't stop Jesus. And my friends, wherever you think you are, God can meet you where you're at. And he says this in the next verse. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publican, and he was rich. Sounds a good catch for you girls, yeah? Sorry, I'm joking. He was rich. Zacchaeus, his name means clean and pure. Do you know that? When he was born, his mother perhaps held him in his arm and said, "This is my baby. How beautiful he is. He's going to be clean and pure. I'm going to call him Zacchaeus. Because there's going to be something unique and different about him." Oh, but the years that passed by that brought that baby into a boy from a boy, into a teenager from a teenager to a manhood. Oh, the change that took place. He became rich, yes. He became successful. He was a chief of the publican. He was a tax collector. But he was a crook. He was a cheat. The name that he bore did bear no resemblance to what the hope that his parents had in him. Let me pause here a while. Does the name that you bear, and I'm not talking about John, Charlie, Harry, whatever your name may be, but the name as a Christian, does that name transform and change you as you are a follower of Christ? Just a thought. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The tax collectors were mainly made out of from the Jewish community. And what they used to do was this. He would go to their Roman governors and say, "Look, I'll collect your tax." And what he will do, yes, he will collect the tax, but he'll add a little top up on it, yeah? So he'll charge him extra. And when the people said, "Hang on a bit, that's a bit more," he had the Roman army behind him. So he suppressed the people, yeah? And Zacchaeus, that was his reputation. He was a man that was perhaps never having much friends. Tax collectors in those days was very despised. And I don't know much about I know most of you here, but you know what your heart and what your life is like. You know the details to which some of us don't know. But listen to this in verse 3. He says this. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was a little stature. In other words, there was so much people around him, right? He couldn't, and he was short. You know, you may have the power. You may have the, as one preacher said, he had the power and the bling, but he couldn't do nothing outside of it. He was short. And sometimes our physical state sometimes holds us back. And sometimes we feel so discouraged. But Zacchaeus was a man of determination. He said he wanted to see Jesus, and he could not. In verse 4 it said, and he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was a pass that way. Let's just pause a while for this verse. He climbed up into the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Oh no, he didn't want religion. He didn't want salvation. He had his riches. He had his money. He had everything. Not Jesus. He climbed up to that tree to look down at Jesus, to assess him. How many people that we work with and we talk with seem to think, "Jesus, I can take him and leave him. It's a roll of the dice. It's not my time now to trust him. I just want to look at it. I just want to be intellectually stimulated by him." You meet those people? I do. When I listen to them, my heart goes out to them because they're missing so much. So Zacchaeus went up his tree to look at Jesus. And tonight I want to ask you a question. Are you up that tree of self-righteousness? Are you up that tree looking at Jesus, not wanting to be part of it, but just want to be a viewer of God. But listen to this. God had other plan. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, Jesus will come to the place where you're at. Jesus will come to that moment when that darkness come upon your life and you think, why is this happening? Jesus is standing there. Jesus will come to your life when, for example, you hold your firstborn baby child and you said, wow. I felt that when I held my firstborn Stephanie. And Jesus came to me and I just had to just praise God. And God will come to us in our joys as well as in our sadness. And Jesus will come to you tonight where you are sitting. Whatever situation you're going through, he will come to you. But listen to this. He looked up and saw him. You see, Jesus didn't only saw Zacchaeus up the tree. He saw his heart. He saw the emptiness. He saw the barrenness. That all that he had was nothing. Because he was empty of God. And you may have many goals, many ambition in your life. What you're going to do, what you're going to achieve. But if Jesus is not there, what hope have you? And Jesus saw him and Jesus said to him, "Oi, you, what's your name? Come down." Did he? No. He said, "Zacchaeus." He said, "Zacchaeus, my friends, Jesus knows you. He knows your name. He knows that Zacchaeus' name was meant to be pure and clean. And he knew he wasn't." Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, you hypocrite. You thief, you robber. You're going to burn in hell." Did Jesus say that? That's a Dolph translation, by the way. You're meant to laugh, guys. Come on. Loosen up a bit, you know. Never. Jesus looked at him. And Zacchaeus wanted to be loved, wanted people to care, to realize that he was a human being. And what did Jesus say? He didn't impart any religious text, any proverb. He said, "Make haste, come down, for today I must come to your house and have a meal with you." To think, the God of all creation, the God who spoke and worlds come to being, the God that designed the helix, whatever you call it, the DNA thing, wants to sit down with us. Want to get to know us. Not that he wants to, but he knows about us anyway. But he wants us to realize that he knows and he cares. When I speak to the guys at the care center about a God who's personal, they want it so much, but somehow there are blocks in their lives because they put up barriers in their lives to stop people to get too close. And here Zacchaeus was offered an invitation. Tonight, you have an invitation to come to know Jesus. To bring your life to him. What in the past is in the past. When Jesus comes through him, precious blood upon that cross, the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus hung upon that cross, when he shed his blood, he was bearing you and mine, or mine and yours, sin. The thing that would separate us from God, he bore on that cross. He took it. He nailed it to that cross. The punishment that we have, he took it. And that's why Jesus can offer an invitation for you tonight, for you in this house, to come and get to know him, to have a personal relationship, because Jesus has not died. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our God is alive. And Zacchaeus could have stayed up that tree and intellectually thought it out. Well, if I go down, perhaps I've got to get the house clean, I've got to do this. Verse 6, he said, and he made haste and came down. And listen to this. And he received him joyfully. You know, I've been to one or two church quite recently, and one or two people during the course of church have made a decision. And one person I can remember, he came forward. He said, well, I think I'll become a Christian now. I said, why? Oh, well, my mum told me I should go forward. Yeah. I said, well, sit down and think about it a bit longer. Joyfully. Joyfully. The work of God in our life is a joyful work. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Do you know that hymn? When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My sins he washed away, and my night he turned to day. That's what makes our gospel joyful. The burden that we carry, the sin that we carry, can be removed by faith. Amen. Look what happened now. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You know that people like to criticize. And when you make a decision for Jesus, all your nice friends will say, you're too wicked to become a sinner. You can't follow Jesus. You won't keep it up. At the care center, 2 weeks ago, one of the girls got baptized. One of the great things she read, one of the books I had was given out, and she read it and she contacted one of the guys who, at a care center, and asked her to go to church. And praise God, she went to church and started going, and she's accepted Jesus. And a month ago, she had a word with the pastor. She said, I want to get baptized. She got baptized. And we were sitting down there on Tuesday night talking. And she said to me, you know, Dolph, it's unbelievable. I said, what is unbelievable? He said, God is beginning to change and transform my life. She said, before I was a Christian, I'll be quite plain with you. You're all over 18, aren't you? Okay. No, all right. Where's your mum? She said, I used to have a lot of girlfriends, and I used to have relationship and friendship with them. And I thought there was nothing wrong with that. But now I'm a Christian. God is beginning to talk to me. And one night I was in my bed, and I dreamt, I saw these girls, these women I used to be with. And suddenly they became all dark. And God said to me, those people will hinder your growth. And she said, I woke up and I knelt down and I asked Jesus to help me to get rid of those people. She said, is that true? And I said, well, God works in wonderful ways. He works through dreams. He works through his word. He works through his Holy Spirit. But he works that we will be drawn closer and deeper to him. And it was really joyous just to pray with her and just to, again, listen to her, how God is moving in her life. The joy that she has now is nothing to compare to what she had. So, and Zacchaeus stood when he heard all these things and said unto the Lord, he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if, now listen to this, he was a tax collector, guys. And if I have taken anything from anybody by false accusation, he was a tax collector, but the work of salvation has taken place, I restore him fourfold. You know why salvation has come? By law it was threefold. He did the extra. And when God takes over our life, we see things and we do things that the world think, that's weird. But we want to be clean in front of him. And listen to what Jesus said. I'm just looking at time. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as is also the son of Abraham. My friends, tonight, you've heard the singing. You hear the reading of the word. And I hope you've heard God speaking to you tonight. Is God asking you to come down from that tree that you've been up there for far too long? Maybe you've been at church and perhaps you're believing in God your way. And it's time for you to make that decision. Lord, I want to come down from this tree. I want joy in my life. Perhaps I'm not most a joyful, expressive person, but I want to know that peace that comes. And I want to remove those shackles, those things that are hindering me from getting to know you better. Tonight, there's an opportunity for you, as we bow our heads now, and to pray and to ask Jesus to change our life. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our God and Father, we have said so much, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will say even more. Lord, you know about our lives. You know, Lord, what our ambition, where we want to go, what we want to do. But you know, Lord, at times we just get in the way of the things that you want us to be. Lord, our prayer is tonight that we may come, perhaps for the first time, at the foot of your cross. And all those things, Lord, that are stopping us from knowing you, to know that freedom, to know that joy, to know that power in our lives. All those things that will block us, Lord. Lord, we bring it to you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to cleanse us. Cleanse us with your blood. Renew this mind of ours that's been contaminated by thoughts that distract us. And let us look at our own self. Bring us to that spot once again so that we may realize how much you love us. Give us a love for your word. Give us a love for each other. Give us a love for the world that needs to hear the message of hope. So bless us, we pray. We bring these things and ask your blessing now in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.